Heyo, welcome to Mostly Max and Other Things. I am the aforementioned Max, and welcome to another week in purgatory. That's what it feels like outside. I mean, I was just in Vegas, so I know from heat, and this is kind of like, you know, like baby shit in comparison to the hot oven of the devil's anus in Vegas that almost took me out of here, because I don't do well with heat, and clearly I'm not built for hell, so I should probably tighten up. It is hot as the devil's nutsack outside, and I hope everyone is staying cool and safe and healthy, because remember, folks, we still in the middle of a plague. It's not even a plague anymore. It's multiple plagues, but I'll go into that later. Anywho, let's get into the bullshit. Mayor Clown Shoes is out here lying about everything. Surprise! The cop is lying. Whoop! He had asked people like a couple weeks ago to send him pictures of cops fucking around on their phones in the train stations, because that's what they do. And, you know, people did, and they got the response that you think they'd get, which is nothing. So, surprise. I mean, it's about holding the cops accountable for the barest of minimums, like paying attention to what's going on around you at your job, as, you know, it is your job to do that. But, you know, scrolling the internet and probably sending nudes to people is probably more important, and you're not going to get in trouble anyway, so fuck it. So there's that. Then on the campaign trail, he was talking, because what he does is talk. He was talking about how, you know, people who live in NYCHA housing, which is our basically our project housing here in New York, need safe spaces, and, you know, the playgrounds are all closed and it's not safe. It's, you know, people need safe places for their children to play and blah, blah, blah. And then he promptly closed more. He closed like 89% more of the playgrounds. No reason, you know, no plans, just vibes. I know he was talking about how he needs the public's help to help with the homelessness problem that is exploding here in New York and everywhere else, as you can imagine, because people are unable to stay housed because everything is wild expensive. And when you add the corporate collusion that is inflation, because that's what it is, it's not just some random shit that happens, it's collusion. Folks are getting priced out of everything. So he's like, we need your help. And I'm like, babes, y'all got money. We can help, yes, but also your job is to make sure people are housed and safe and stuff. But, you know, no plans, just vibes. In other fucking nonsense news, it turns out, based on the report that just got dropped for what happened in that grade school in Uvalde in Texas, that nearly 400 state, federal, and local cops showed up to that school that day, and they all did fuck all. They had Border Patrol there. They had the state cats there. They had the local cats there. 376 motherfucking cops outside of the school, and some of them inside the school. And they just let that kid buck down all those babies. And nothing's gonna come of it. But also, somehow it's the teacher's fault because of a culture of closed doors. That's what they said. A culture of closed doors. Not the culture of y'all letting any old fucking body buy a goddamn gun and run around with it. Because, you know, if you can't fight, you got to bust your gun. Or if you feel like, you know, you're not getting what you're supposed to get or whatever fucking bullshit you on, you should just be able to bust your gun all brazy. Texas, and everywhere now. Shout out to the Supreme Court. Yeah, basically, burn it all and let the devil sort it out. Because I can't really allow myself to think about how 376 motherfucking cops who all they do is get it to rain on them. Rain weaponry, rain training, rain, you name it, they get it. To the, like, at the, like, nothing else is getting money because they get into the money. No, nothing else in the budget is getting covered because they get in the money. And all these motherfuckers with all their training and all their war games tools and all their shit for one fucking kid with a couple of guns in a school, and they did not engage that little motherfucker until allegedly he busted back, because the story keeps changing. It went from one thing to another thing, but basically it's let's blame the teachers now. And I think the DOJ is going to get involved in the investigation. I don't really know. It doesn't matter because the brand is to not hold anybody accountable. They can't even sue these motherfuckers. The families of those children, the people who survived, the people who were injured, all of this, you know, shit. Nobody can be punished as a result of this inaction because legally they ain't got to do nothing to protect you or your people or anything. But property, always property. Don't break a window at the Walgreens, niggas. You will go to jail. So yeah, burn it. Burn it all. Burn every bit of it. Let the devil sort it out. We live in hell. Speaking of, we move into the plagues section. Monkeypox is about to run through all the shit. We've learned nothing. We've been in a motherfucking pandemic going on 3 years now, and we've learned stugats. Because of this country's insistence on doing the barest of minimums, people are going to get caught literally with their pants down. Again, because they don't learn, and history is there to teach you, and nobody learns from that either. There's poor messaging around who's getting it, because, you know, you get it. And where you can get vaccines, and how many are available, and what the Department of Health is responsible for, what the CDC is responsible for. Nothing. Zero. Zilch. No proper messaging around this. And just like they did with AIDS, they're blaming the gays, because apparently straights are not getting this shit, or anybody else, which is clearly not true. So it's a bunch of boring, rehashed homophobia bullshit. And again, we live in hell. And because they won't do what needs to be done, because God forbid that we stop people from producing and getting rich people to the money. They're not gonna really do anything of any value to combat the spread, because I think they shut this shit down before when it showed up after like almost 50 people got it. We in the four-digit lane now. I feel like the number's wild high. And remember, because we don't know who all's getting what and nothing's being recorded, and people who have gotten this are not getting proper assistance from anybody, we're not really getting really well recorded anything. So, yeah, we live in hell. And also, the old man in the White House has COVID, guys. Yikes. You know, he's 79 years old. He's fully vaxxed and boosted. He has mild symptoms. He's gonna isolate at the crib and keep doing his duties as required, because God forbid he lets the vice president, the black one, take the reins over in between going to all the black functions this summer, because, you know, that's the job for her. So yeah, plagues. And speaking of more plagues, there's been the first known case of polio found in Rockland County here in New York, which is the first known case of polio, y'all, to be found since 2013, which I didn't even know about, because my guy, polio? The fucking vaccine been around since the 50s. Like, basically, this is the slowest walk in the history of slow walks to the end of this fucking thing. Because, baby, this is a mess. Because if the plague don't get you, the guns will. It is a fucking goddamn mess. Anywhoza, I think that's it. Because, you know, we keep it nice and bright and cheery here at Mostly Max and Other Things. This week on the podcast, I actually have a guest. A dope guest at that. The good homie who I absolutely adore. It's been love since we met. Coco Tona is here to talk about her career journey as a journalist and all the fun stuff that she's experienced in her career and all that good shit. And it was such a fun conversation. She's so fucking dope and bad as fuck too. She fine as all outdoors. Is really tall and fine. Completely unfair. Unfair. But she's dope as hell. And we had a great conversation and I hope you guys enjoy. And it's coming up in 2 seconds. Today on the podcast, I have a media correspondent at blackfilm.com who gets to talk to all y'all faves. She is the moderator of the iconic Grapegate debate. If you know, you know. And by far, they are the funniest, most brilliant person I had the pleasure of knowing. Please welcome to Mostly Max and Other Things, Coco Tona.
Yay, Max. I'm so happy to be here with you. I love you so much. And I'm so excited and honored you actually have me on here. This is so cool.
Oh, girl. It took too long for me to have you. My ass is out here slipping. As much as I love you. Flipping.
Oh my God, I can't wait.
It's all good though. We're finally getting it together. I'm very excited. So let's jump into it.
Yes.
First question, what do you do and why do you do it?
Okay, so I guess what you could say is I am, as you said, a media correspondent. And to be honest with you, it was something that I did go to school for it. I went to school for communication. So I went to school for radio, TV, and film. So there was a point in my life that I told myself I want to be on the radio. But as the world turned and as things evolved, radio kind of wasn't really like a career. But that's really what I told myself that since I was a kid. And so then we started to get more like when the internet evolved as well and became like social media personalities and things like that, the radio just kind of seemed a little bit less interesting in that way. You know, I became more worldly, I guess, to say that, but not to say that it wasn't aspirational, but it just became more expanded as far as my like scope in the world. So right now, like you said, I do interview a lot of the celebrities and I do talk to people and I love talking to different people. That puts me in front of some very, very interesting personalities and characters and some of the most amazing people that I've come to know and even become friends with. And the reason why I do it is because I feel like the world is much, much bigger than myself. And I feel like every conversation that I ever have, I want to learn something from it. And I want to do everything with purpose. So even if it's something that seems mundane, it could be somebody that I'm just picking up like my Diet Coke. My Diet Coke, that's my morning coffee. So nice. I'm at the bodega picking up my Diet Coke, right? But at the same time, when I'm having that small conversation, every day I learn something new about the person. So I find out about their family. I bring a little gift or something for their kid. I'm saying? Like I make these connections in my neighborhood. You know, I'm tutoring the kids in the braid shop, you know, because I mean, I like to learn and I like to learn. And children, they also give you a window into what the world looks like from a different lens. So, you know, I just like talking to people. So whether I'm getting paid for it or it's free, it's for me.
I love it. So how did you get started in your industry?
So with the particular job that I have right now, this was actually kind of, I want to say it was almost like a favor. Like it's very interesting because the things that you find yourself really landing or what makes more sense, sometimes you're not really reaching for it. It just comes to you. So I got a phone call and someone said, hey, listen, we were kind of short, you know, we need somebody to come in, step in and do some interviewing. You know, we know you have a pretty dynamic personality. I know you haven't been doing this and doing all these press junkets and things like that, but maybe you'd be interested. And I was like, well, maybe I am. So, I mean, the first thing I just jumped right into it. The very first person I ever interviewed was Gina Prince Bythewood.
Oh, wow.
And it's just so funny because I wasn't scared. And I realized I'm not scared of people. And if you are respectful in a conversation and you don't attack people, you realize that they'll receive you very well as well. So it was, and I go back and like, cause I roll tape, I'm an athlete, you know? So I'll look at things over and over again, like what could I have done right? What could I, you know, or done better rather, what did I do right? And I look at that interview and I'm like, oh, that was the very first interview I did on this kind of stage. And I don't really feel like it was terrible for a first time out. And I feel good about that. So I was like, yo, when I saw that and I think about it even now, I was like, this is something that I should be doing or could be doing for a long time.
Right on. Right on. Because a lot of people don't really do the work and it shows. You know what I mean? Like they get messy with it and then they kind of blow up because people mm-hmm. love mess. I mean, I love mess, but at the same time, it's like, you can't ride on mess forever. You can ask no. Perez Hilton about that. And quietly, the Shade Room might be on the way out of here behind their mess. So, you know.
I mean, you know, like mess, of course, just like you said, and I, you know, if we're all being very honest, everybody loves to see a train wreck from a distance. You'd be looking yeah. like, damn, like that's what's going on. You know, we right. love to just sort of absorb it and look at certain things. But like when you're a part of the mess, like if it's something right. that's revolving in your own inner circle or something, that mm-hmm. energy that you have to wake up and think about, or like you got to answer to certain folks because you said this or that. I mean, that's not cool. And like, and to even add to what you're saying, one of the things that I pride myself on is that when I interview people, and I've interviewed like a lot of people from like all walks, mm-hmm. nobody has to ask me, like, you know, you see things like this, but nobody ever says, hey, can you give us the questions beforehand just so we can make sure that, or can you not ask this question? I don't get that, because right. everybody knows I'm not going to hop on here and be like, girl, so guess what? I heard you was dating so-and-so and I heard right. you got into a fight.
Right.
I don't care about that.
Did like, you get duffed at the mall like yeah, they said you
exactly.
did?
Exactly. You know, I was there, so you're going to say one thing, but I know what really happened. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I don't do all of that. You know, even if I really know like what's what, and I kind of have a window into what may have occurred with certain things,
right.
I would never violate somebody like that. And I don't want anybody to feel uncomfortable. And I mean, just, right. it's like, what is it even worth? You know, I hate to use this example, but I really have to use this example, but it's almost like drug dealing, right? Mm. You know, people want to be a kingpin, right? Like when you mm-hmm. look at people like that are drug dealers and things like that, those things have a shelf life. You only
Absolutely.
Get
like, a temporary
to be on top. And then, you know, every single person that you've ever seen, for the most part, that's ever dealt in that particular life, either they're dead or in jail, right? Correct. They don't reign forever. It's never like,
and even if they go to jail and get out, there's somebody waiting for them.
Somebody waiting for them. Like, yo, there's no, just like what? There's no statute of limitations on murder. There's mm-hmm. no statute of limitations on beef. You
right.
know?
Right.
I mean, you could have, you know, murdered so-and-so 30 years ago. That don't mean that wasn't somebody's husband, father,
somebody
friend.
Daddy, somebody you know, cousin.
You don't know who it is. Right. The same thing applies to media. Like, you can't tell somebody to get over it. You know, when you're doing these things that are constantly attacking people, or you're part of a cycle of really like abuse.
Absolutely.
And that's why, regardless of what, you know, whatever anybody thinks, you know, as far as like, well, you decided to be famous. I think when I look at what Cardi B is saying, at least she's coming from an honest place.
Absolutely.
You know, because it's like she's saying, hey, listen, guys, I have feelings. And you're
and she has a, you know, she's a human person. These people yes. breathe and eat and piss and shit the same as you.
So you think if you say like Cardi B, your XYZ, or Cardi B, this, that, and about your kids, like just because you're anonymous, you don't think that hurts that person's feelings?
Absolutely.
Like, what do I get out of making fun of somebody or just even saying that kind of thing about somebody? And then a lot of times too, you'll see is that once the person responds like, yo, like, oh, so you're going to say that about my kids or say that about me? 9 times out of 10, those trolls to those celebrities would be like, oh, I just wanted to get your attention.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's crazy making.
And
that's
that even really, happens really in regular spaces with non-celebrities. Like you'll
Absolutely.
Say something on the internet and some foot-faced troll nigga slides into your mentions talking crazy because of something just completely inane or just not like major that you said. I remember some unfortunate child slid in my mentions. I was talking about maybe like Ozark or something like that. Mm-hmm. And Mans was like, really? And I was like, you can hold this dust, beloved, because you're not going to get no attention over here, sis, because it's not going to go down the way you think.
It's not going to happen. And that's happened to me, too. Like one thing, like, I mean, I have to say it like this. Like I live, at least I feel like I live a very full and fulfilled life in mm-hmm. real life. The mm-hmm. internet, and I always say this to people, the internet is not real to me. It's an extension of like our reality in a sense. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it is an extension of like, you know, our interests. You know, I'm in a bunch of like Facebook group, like I'm in a uh-huh. Facebook group about bad resin, okay, where people are making like terrible art. But this is a group that's very important to me. Nobody would really know that I'm in there every day looking at bad resin. It fulfills me. That's something I'm interested in. You know
right.
what I'm saying? But it's like, but when I get off the internet, there are friends that I can touch, reach out to in real
right.
life. There are people that I can call that call me that we're wondering how each other's doing, you know,
right.
things like that. So when someone comes online and says something to me and there's like some sort of like ad hominem attack mm-hmm. or just because I don't like their TV show, suddenly I'm this worst person or whatever.
Right.
I never return that same energy. I promise.
It's not worth the energy.
It's not worth it because I really don't know what space this person is in.
And like, this might be their whole life, this whole persona that they've created running up in people's mentions talking stupid.
You understand me? So it's like, even if they're trying to do it out loud, you know, and it's also like, I don't even know what this person might have been told about me. I don't know right. anything about it, but it's not, right. but it's really not my business. You know what I'm saying? Right. So all I can do is just best be the best me that I can be. Like, right. to be honest, I'm probably louder in real life than I am online. I mean, we're going to be
I
really
mean,
honest.
I've met you in real life, so you know what I'm saying?
Exactly. I'm like 9,000% more turnt. In the flesh, you know what I'm yes. saying? Than I am.
Like,
online,
if the people on the internet knew any better, they wouldn't try it.
Yo, like, I'm not with it, you know? So it's like, I can't be like that, because I know if I were to talk to somebody in person and mm-hmm. say the things that these people, that's how I'm saying, like, they don't know any better. It's almost like, you know, like you're trying to, like, it's almost like beating like somebody that's smaller than you mm-hmm. or like aggressing a child.
Right.
Why would
right.
I even try to be a bully to someone who just really has no sense of self? Who right. just really just values this online property so much.
It's like a drug to them, the getting yes. that attention, no matter if it's good or bad or whatever. They just want that attention because they clearly yeah. are lacking somewhere else in their lives.
And I realize that, and I'm pretty self-aware, and I try to understand the world in that way that I get it. So I know that that's not about me. I know right. when people move like that, it's not about you at all. But right. you,
especially when there's a whole stranger who you've never yeah, engaged you with under any other circumstance. Me. They don't even follow you. They just sitting in Nothing. Your mentions talking nonsense for the Nothing. Effect. You know what I'm saying?
Then it's also like, yo, you ain't got no friends on internet. You ain't even got no avatar.
Like,
nothing.
Don't nobody love you, bruh. There's a flag right. in your shit. That's a dog. I'm not talking to you.
And it's weird because it's like, yo, like, you know, you think about that, the idea that don't nobody love you, like that person might actually really feel that way. Yeah. Do I want to contribute to that population of people that doesn't love them? No, I'm going to dismiss this and I'm going to go about my day.
Give, I mean, dust is the best thing you can pay someone sometimes.
Absolutely.
I've learned it on a professional level and on these internet streets. Just yeah, you can give them man. Nothing. And the nothing yeah. says a lot more than anything else. You know what I'm
I
saying?
Think with, yeah, I think it's interesting you say even on a professional level, like just having worked in like corporate America and things mm. like that, yo, the petty does not, it's not just online. You start Show to realize like, interpersonal relations, even like Absolutely. With grown folks who should be mature.
Big age motherfuckers.
No, who big, you think big should, age.
Who you think know, should know better.
Mm-mm. Big age with big titles. And you just yes. be like, yo, bro, like you out here doing that.
Y'all this is how you gossiping? Living? Oof, you got no. it.
Like you finna expense this lunch talking about that person. Like, that's crazy. Like, what is we doing? Yeah. But I mean, listen, I'm gonna eat. You know what I'm saying? You got the bill. Cool.
Absolutely. So Am I contributing to this tea right. festival that you're trying to right. do? No, just, but I'm gonna sit like, here and eat.
Oh, okay. It'd be so Word. Crazy because I'm a vault. You know what I'm saying? Like, so a lot of times people tell me stuff that like, they just know I just don't talk. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
it's just interesting when people say things about people and I really know what the other person's perspective is. So a lot of times I'll even maybe know, at least from what I've deduced or concluded from what I've been told, that another person's probably lying to save face mm-hmm. because they're just being so forward, like, guess what happened to me?
Uh-huh.
But I never say anything. And I'm just like, wow, it's so interesting how people just like try to create these narratives. And like, is it even that serious? Who cares what I think?
It's
Who
like, bro, you wasting all this on me because it's not going anywhere.
Yeah, I don't care. Exactly. Like, I don't have no girl guess what team. Nobody. And then my friends are from all walks of life, too. So what am I talking about person A to person B when they don't even live in the same city? Like,
right. And they don't even know who you're talking about. What's the
point?
No,
it's just, what is the point? You know, go watch some TV. There's a lot of
Go outside and touch grass, B.
Goddamn grass. Although I can't do that lately. Apparently, I'm allergic to everything.
Oh, Lord. I just don't like outside. And I've been outside in the last few weeks and I remember now why I don't go outside.
Yeah, man, it just be muggy. And then, you know, I don't even necessarily like, I don't like to turn the air conditioner on as much. I do like that fresh breeze. So if you get that right room where it's got the nice shade,
mm-hmm. get the cross breeze popping.
Yeah, I love that, man. I love that so much.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm an air conditioner bastard right now because I'm living... because this is my bedroom right here and mm-hmm. we haven't been able to do like an air conditioner because we can't put it into the window, so we got one of those portable joints this year and I
feel fancy too.
It feels
they
luxurious work. They work mm-hmm. I fronted no, on them
really yeah
I fronted on
I was
them.
Looking I was like, what is this big old thing in the middle of the room? But they get right. cold quick. No, they Yo, work
super mm-hmm. fast. Like I made sure to do my little research because that's what I do my little research. Everybody went to the top 10, top 5, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And I bought one of the ones in the top 5. And I was like, because if I'm doing this, I'm going to do it.
No, but I don't even care if the thing is like $3. I will read every single review. I will
Absolutely.
Read the list. and I will read the best, and I will look, and I will look at the mids. I will look at everything, and I'll be like, okay, I can tell they bought this review, and I can tell this person's just mad because they had a bad day, you know, or mad because it's, you know, it's Wednesday or something.
Waiting, and it didn't come the way they thought it was going to come.
Yeah,
now they mad.
Or just scamming, just looking for something free. I can always tell what the energy is, and then there's always those comments that make a little bit more sense. That's more like,
where it's like, I put this in my room 4 days ago, and I'm living the best life. I'll listen to that guy before I listen to that guy. I saw it and it came chipped and I don't like the color. And it's like, all right, fuck you, man.
you know what's so terrible about me? And I'm so bad about this. Like, even if I didn't like the color and it might have came chipped, if it works, I'm not even gonna return it.
Because you know the work about getting the returns off?
Right.
Especially if it's a big item. Oh, that's just gonna stay in my house.
I'll be like, well, it works, you know what I'm saying? Put a little,
I mean, it's noisier than I thought it was gonna be, but you know what I'm saying? Like, it works. It does what I needed to do. So
I'm so bad about things. There'd be so many bootleg things around me. People be looking at me like, really? Like, why are you still?
I'm
like,
but I'm good at sending stuff that doesn't fit back, because that shit will just sit in my house forever if I don't send it back.
You know what? I ordered one of those Beyonce leotards, the jean one. I tried to hit send on it, but it gave me extra small. Do you know that thing is still in a box? I never returned it. I don't even know. I ain't been an extra small since I was an infant. You know what I'm saying? So like, I don't even know what to do. I don't know if I'm supposed to give it to somebody. Should I try? I'm probably not good with reselling. I'm not good with sending, you know, I'm just not into the reselling.
I did that a couple, like I'm very rare. Like I bought some boots, you know, my calves are extra big now because pandemic eating. And I have bought these, like, man, mine too. They were already big, but like, I bought these Steven Weissmans. Them shits was beautiful. I had my eye on them for years. They went on sale. I bought them, didn't realize that there was a, you can't return this shit after you buy it type of situation. And I ended up putting it on Poshmark and they went fairly quick. And I got double what I paid for them. So those outfits are not bad. The only problem for me was trying to find a box to send them shits in, because I didn't keep the box that they came in. Like, I had the regular box and had all the bells and whistles, but like, it was a pain in the ass to find a box to put it in to send it.
You're not the first person to say Poshmark, because it was that, and then I got this Jordan flight suit that looks crazy, like it's so dope, but I bought it too big, because I'm into the leisurely mechanic jumpsuits, but this one was so big, it just looks, it looks crazy.
Yeah.
And but I just never returned it, so now I probably should sell it. I mean, you're right, Poshmark, you're not the first person to say that to me. Okay, let's see what happens.
Yeah, it wasn't a bad situation. I mean, there were people who were just obviously operating in bad faith, trying, just getting into my mentions and just ratcheting down the price. I was like, oh, I see what you're doing. Delete. Get out of my face. But like, for the most part, when people were serious, like the funny thing was, I didn't put the price high enough. Because when I initially listed them, I listed them for around what I paid for them. But it wasn't moving. So when I moved the price up, that's when I started getting interest.
Isn't that interesting, huh?
Yeah.
So Poshmark is kind of like eBay.
Kind of, yeah. But it's just all like clothes and shit. And, you know, chicks with money putting their shit up and because they don't use it no more. It's almost, there's a little bit of a consignment type of a thing going on there too.
I was going to say that it's so funny you said chicks with money, because I just thought about something. You know, you Poshmark, it seems to me, that's kind of a world where people, and it kind of goes back to the social media thing. There's these people that sort of live on social media or Instagram where they can't even wear the same outfit twice.
For real.
You know, that's how they,
I don't know that life.
I don't know that life. Listen, this stuff I've worn on Instagram 8 times. Like, I don't care.
Understand
my clothes, I paid for it.
I paid it. And I'm getting my money's worth.
I don't care. I will shop at Rainbow.
Me too.
I'll shop at any of those damn places. Like, if I see the Amazon on sale, I will get it. Well, I
please understand. Some of the best shit I got are some cheap shits that I got off of Amazon. Not
No, I used to get I get these graphic tees from a lot of graphic tees. I've got them from Walmart. Walmart has these cool, you never think about it. You know, people talk about Walmart and they might walk in there for some eggs and walk out with a refrigerator, you know, or television rather, you know, whatever.
That's Target
but
too.
If you go and look at the clothing section, they have these really cool graphic tees. And I've got stuff, I've gotten like Rick and Morty shirts, like
nice.
Oh my God, are you kidding me? And for like,
because usually I get all my stuff, like, you know, like my whole wardrobe is basically graphic tees at this point.
Yeah, so me like, too, that's all.
I'll get like, you know, stuff from Frank, stuff from Mess in a Bottle, stuff.
Of course.
And then sometimes there's something cute on Amazon that I might pick up, or like all these other, like all those black t-shirt outfits that just kind of sprang up overnight, it feels like. And I'm good. What I realized during the pandemic is that I am highly susceptible to IG ads. I have bought some shit.
Are you really? I was wondering if anybody's done that.
It's been mixed results. Like the t-shirts has been fine. I bought something from one of these IG boutiques and I should have known. And it was, boy, it was moldy. It was cheap as fuck. And I sent it back and it was store credit only. And they were like mocking up like shine and like wish stuff, like $70. Yeah, yeah. So like what I ended up exchanging it for is like shit that I use as pajamas now because they're too cheap to really be worn in the streets. So like, yeah, I learned my lesson the hard way with that. But like there's other stuff like the African outfits, the folks that do all the good Ankara stuff. Like I've gotten lucky with a lot of those and a lot of t-shirts. I've done really well. And even some products I've done well. Because I bought an edge control thing and it was like...
See, I like to experiment with hair products. So I get really upset when it doesn't work. I like that. To be honest, of all the things that people keep sort of like overselling, so to speak, the one that I can say that I do like is that Miele.
Yes, hard agree. That stuff is great.
It's great. Like they have this kind of like, I think it's like a rosemary serum you can use for your
scalp.
That's
the one I use on my scalp.
Yes, I love that. Works. And then they got this leave-in conditioner. Then they have the type 4. Like, you know, and you can do
it specifically for type 4 girls, which is, and it actually works.
It actually
like that,
works.
That honey and pomegranates line.
Yes, I got the, I have the honey pomegranate, that shellac, that, you know, that pomade stuff. Get those fake baby hairs and adult hairs down.
Full-grown adult hairs.
Full-grown. I've been seeing people cut them in. I'm like, damn, it ain't that serious.
I'm never going to be that. I mean, like my edges are already like 90s thin from doing foolishness in the 90s. I don't need to help shit out in that way. No. Like you're not cutting no edges in. We going to work with the thin ass shit that's here.
You know what I'm saying? Same. But I was going to say the one thing that I have taken L's on in the pandemic was I was doing like the wigs. Like I was buying wigs based on pictures, like on Amazon.
Yes.
Like, set out with like a brush.
Damn.
I was even buying like certain things. So what I started to do is I learned how to make my own wigs. And so, yeah, I started making my own wigs. So it's like, now I'm like, okay, wow. Like I was, you know, we spent all this money and a lot of these wigs, you can only wear them for like maybe a couple months or a couple wears sometimes.
Before they fall apart.
They're cheap before they fall apart, but you can make your own. And so I just got started. Yes. And it's a lot cheaper over time. You know, a wig could last you maybe a couple of years.
Yeah.
Maybe more, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cause I was looking at like, they'd be like, you know, it looks easy. Cause I don't know how to do wigs. Like I have a lot of hair. I don't know how to braid nothing down. It's a whole, I let the professionals do all the stuff, but like the regular, if you see my hair just out and about.
You have a note. Max has a lot of hair. Yeah. Yeah. She got a lot of hair.
It's a pain.
You was Rudy Huxtable as a kid, wasn't you? We all wanted to be Rudy Huxtable.
Most people did. I was really all about Denise, to be honest.
She was cool.
Vanessa could die in real life. She could die, and I'd be okay
with this. She was that. You know, it's so funny because she is that textbook problematic middle child. It's like, really, really, come on. So you really gonna have
she really set that part off. And then she's kind of an asshole in real life too. So I'm like, ugh, gag me.
Well then, I am not knowing, but you know.
I seen her on some reality shows and she was not her best self.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Man, reality has really destroyed our perception of certain people.
It's so
really
true.
It's so sad.
I used to like them.
Aww. Yeah, and then you see them on reality shows, you're just like, you know, that the mystique of celebrity in the past time was so good for people because when you start to get to know them, at least even through the edit, whatever, it's
social media and reality shows,
it's unkind.
Never meet your idols, bruh, because it's terrible.
Never
like, just don't like nobody because they gonna all disappoint your ass.
Absolutely. That's why I can totally appreciate like the hands-off social media stuff that Beyonce does. Like,
absolutely, she's like the Kwan, because really her becoming an enigma was the best thing she ever did, because she might have took herself out of here with her mouth when she was younger. She just took herself right out of here.
Oh my God. There's some clips of Beyonce that are so hilarious. You're like, ooh, Beyonce got a little attitude.
Mm-hmm. Like when them girls was cycling in and out of DC in that period, when I think they got rid of Farrah. She's like, oh my God, don't even mention her name. I was like, yes.
Yeah,
like,
that's Beyonce.
That's her.
How you really feel?
I was like, all right. Soon as they told her to not They got her media trained, and she got quiet, and that was the best thing she ever did.
She knew what to do because she used to cut her eyes in interviews, like, like, and you were like, oh, and they were like, too, like,
like that iconic, that iconic ass interview with Kelly. She was like, I'm like the second lead singer, and she was like, bitch, where?
Oh, the way Beyonce looked at her, I said, Lord, Kelly don't deserve that.
She don't need that kind of shade. What's happening here? Bless it. Bless it.
What is going on in that house?
I was like, you know what? The best thing they ever did was shut it all down, make her an enigma, let her talk through the work, and not say anything unless she has something to say. And it's the perfect, it's the thing that built her mystique, and it was a brilliant idea.
Brilliant. Absolutely. Yep.
Because she'd have got herself out of here.
It's true. A lot of people have.
Yeah.
You know?
Just showing up in the wrong place, talking the wrong shit, and that was it.
I mean, look at, like, the one of the main examples I think about when I think about a celebrity who just was so stratospherically, like, just beyond what we could even imagine a celebrity could be, like, we're the last of that kind of an era, is, like, Madonna.
Oh, yeah.
Now it's like Madonna's doing, like, weird selfies and, like, stuff like that.
And all the work she's done on her face.
Yeah, it's just like, why? You know?
It's like, you don't have to do none of this. You're Madonna. Like, you literally don't have to do nothing. You could be quiet. But that was never her steez, though. She was never one for being quiet. She was the one who was trying to be edgy. Oh, I'm going to kiss the two hot pop girls. I'm going to put my yeeks out. I'm going to be shady to Gaga. You know what I'm saying?
Can I ask this question? And this has always been something I've been curious about. So you said she's going to kiss the two hot pop girls. Madonna kissed Britney and Christina.
Sure did.
Right? That day. Yeah. Why did nobody care that she kissed Christina too? Why was it such a big deal that it was Britney? I'm like, these things happen at the same time.
I think Britney's the whitest of the girls. So I think that's probably why. Britney's the whitest of the girls. Because Christina is still Christina, but also Christina, from what I understand, Christina got a bad attitude, from what I understand. Okay. Too. Mm-hmm. So, and Britney Jean was always like, she was a girl, you know what I mean? Like, everybody liked, if there was people that they liked, I feel like it was almost kind of like the MJ Prince type of a dichotomy. Like, people who like Britney better and people who like Christina better.
Yes, but there
I felt like Britney's fan base was a lot more vocal and loyal. You know what I'm saying?
And you know what's interesting about that? I always think about this too, especially not even necessarily with just these two, but it happens a lot, you know, in time, as, you know, generationally, as we get more and more singers and people become famous and blah, blah, blah. But imagine being that Christina Aguilera at that time when you are, you know, between the two, at least anyway, the more pure singer, the powerhouse.
Absolutely.
Vocalist. And this girl, you know, she's just singing, you know, she's marginally, you know, she's kind of
talented. Getting no belting from
Britney. You're not getting, we're not looking for it. We're just looking to have
And we're not getting it from Madonna either. They were the most in like in that way too.
Right. And it's right. And maybe that's, I guess maybe that.
Yeah. You're not getting big vocals from Madonna.
Yeah. So I think that maybe the bad attitude came from that too, just sort of maybe probably feeling a little underappreciated.
Absolutely, because everybody promptly forgot that happened.
It just, to this day, it happened at the same time. Like,
yeah, she kissed one. She actually kissed Christina first, and then she kissed little girl, and that was it.
And it just like cut to Britney. I'm like, okay,
the hysteria, and it has never ended.
It always felt like the Mandela effect to me, like, or like Berenstain Bears. Like, am I making this up? Jesus, I always wondered.
Yeah, I feel like it was that kind of thing where, you know, that was the blonde girl. I think Christina was on her black haired shit back then. And yeah, I don't remember if she had done the dirty thing where she was rolling around on the floor in grease or whatever.
That assless chaps era?
The assless chaps and the thing with what's my man's name from Jersey, rapping on it.
Redman.
Yeah. So I feel like she was more hip hoppy back then or whatever. Mm-hmm. So that might've also played into it. And she's not fully white either.
No,
you know what I'm saying?
No,
so that might've been also... that played
into.
Isn't
she like, she's like Colombian or something?
Something like that. Yeah, she's half Latin somewhere.
Yeah. She even did the Latin album.
She did a whole Spanish language album as well. And Britney was Britney from Louisiana. You know what I mean? So.
And you know, maybe that's, you know, again, I mean, there's an authenticity to Britney, you know, whatever you think of her. I think Britney, she's just that down home Louisiana girl, and she's never tried to be anything else. And that's it.
She never pretended she was a big singing girl. She gave you she was going to give you footwork. She's going to give you visuals. She was going to give you a bop. You know what I'm saying? So,
and even when she would get attacked in interviews, and you see these uncomfortable,
they did her so dirty back then, bruh.
But you could see Britney's humanity in it, where she didn't even.
You could see her getting hit, like she was feeling it, and you could see it.
Yeah, like, wow, well, why? That's a question. Like, she would even kind of say it, like, utter it, like, okay, like
that. She would look at them like, bitch, what?
Yeah. But she never had it in her to be, like, a bitch about it. She was just more like, wow. Like, so, I guess you're right. I think I like Britney.
Yeah, I've always liked Britney. I always thought that, you know, I was rooting for her. I'm glad that she got out of that conservatorship, because she... Mm-hmm. She really lost a good decade of her life in that bullshit, and Cass was just spending her money and running her life. And I'm glad. And this is a rich white woman this happened to. So you can imagine what the elders are going through. You know what I'm saying?
You know, what's really upset me about the Britney thing, and I always say this, is that if a person, and I'll even say this about Wendy Williams, if a person has spent their life, they're hard-earned, I mean, it's hard-earned money, it's their work, it's what they've done, and their time, and I mean, you're talking about people that really built their empires from the ground up.
I don't
give a damn what you spend your money on. It is not on me or this freaking army of people behind me to tell you what to do with your money. Like Britney could, I mean, even with her now husband, people saying, oh, he could be taking advantage of her, this and that. I don't even care about that. What I do know is that when you see Britney with that man, she looks
lights up,
so
man. She's happy.
She lights up. He makes her feel good. So even if it's some kind of long con or whatever the case may be, all I know is that Britney seems the happiest that she's been in a very long time. That's what's important. I'm not here to police what's the best for somebody else. It's not my
business.
Especially
when you don't know them and they don't
even
know you.
Yeah, I never understood that. Or even if you are family, which in her case, I mean, it's like, you know, she's rejecting her own family.
Her whole fam was roachy though. They was roachy as fuck the whole time. Her sister, her mom and them, her dad was number one roach because he wasn't interested in nothing until the money started coming in.
Until the money. But I will throw this in though. If we have to be, objective. Yeah. You know, there obviously is a reason why we're here, and there are things you cannot speak about when it comes to somebody's health.
Right.
So perhaps if the family was able to perhaps divulge aspects of their side, there could be something to this story that would
feel absolutely good. I do feel that there was a need for it when it initially started, but like there was definitely a need for it. I felt like she might have needed that extra at the time, but once she came out on the other side and it was clear that she was in her faculties and she could think and do for herself, they were still trying to run because she was a moneymaker. You know what I'm saying? They put her on the track and she got the money. You know what I'm saying? So like, I feel like that's what money always fucks it up. Like you might have good intentions at the outset and then the money starts fucking around and then you start fucking around. You know what I mean?
It's sad to see people change, man. It's really sad. Yeah,
it's true. But listen to us going off book.
I know, like, what was it talk about?
So let's get back into the questions.
Okay.
So for my third question, what do you hope to achieve?
Oh, we're only on number three.
We're only number three.
Oh Lord.
What do you hope to achieve for your career? What does the final form of your career look like?
The final form of my career. You know what I would really like to do? Honestly, like I see myself as more so an executive producer capacity. Mm. I like to see other people grow and do things. So even though I enjoy being in front of the camera and talking to people and engaging people, I'm not one of those people that simply wants to remain in that role. Mm. I would love to be able to nurture someone to be in the same role, let's say wherever I land, where they can even be better than me. I like to see people grow. You know, I like mentorship. I like to, you know, I like to praise the people that have mentored me. Mm. So, you know, it's that for me is something where I feel like, you know, you should sort of pay it forward.
Right.
And I would feel very good about that.
I think what I like to see the most is when people who have gotten on kind of bring people up with them and kind of, you know, they don't gatekeep the shit. Like you got in, so now you're closing the door and running. I like it when, you know, like you see it with Issa Rae, you see it with all these like people who have grinded from the bottom and got to the top or whatever, and they've gotten their place and they're bringing folks in who are also talented and helping them set up things. That's what I like to see. And I think it's very encouraging. I think it's generationally, they're very... Most of the new people are not as gatekeepery as the old.
I've noticed that too. Yes, yeah. I've noticed that too.
They know there's room for everybody and everybody can eat.
No man is an island, man. You know, and it's great to bring people along. I mean, I think that, and I guess maybe I understand why people are guarded, you know, because right. you could bring people in and obviously people can, you know, some people don't know how to act. You know, we've all got right. friends too, where we love them dearly, but there's just certain rooms or certain places that they can't be, or they're going to start a fight. They're going to get arrested. They're going to say,
they're going to embarrass you. They're going to fuck up your contacts. Yeah.
And they know that too. And it's not that you don't love them. You could keep it 100 with them and let them know, like, yo, you know damn well you cannot mm-hmm. be here, you know, and, right. and they'll know, you know what I'm saying? Right. If they're your friend, they'll know. But at the same time, if you bring everybody to your house and mm-hmm. that friend is still going to be there because they're still my friend. Yeah. If they're acting up being my friend, it's like, well, hold on now. That's still my friend. Now you in my house. So right. they right. can, if they're sitting there twirling on their head, you know, whatever, in the middle of a prayer, let them, that's what he does. So let him do him. That's my friend, you know?
Right.
But
right.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I do like that. I always use LeBron as an example as well too. Mm. You know, you look at LeBron, all his people around him is like day one, the people that he loved. Look at Rihanna, you know, her mm-hmm. best friend since childhood. A1 day one, you know, people like that. Yep. You gotta have people around you that you can trust and bring people, you know. It's beautiful to see that you know, people aren't just like inventing new circles and making new friends and pretending right. like all the people that they knew before, like they have to leave right. them behind.
Because those are the folks who don't do as well because they don't have for real people around them.
Who can tell them, like, yo, you are messing up? You know,
your brand. What the fuck are you doing? They need that. Nah. They don't, the people who have the yes people around them, you can tell.
You know, you can tell, and I guess particularly with entertainment too, there's a lot of sensitivity in that sense. But mm-hmm. and we were having this conversation the other day, but it's like, you know, feedback is so important. You mm-hmm. know, if you just are just impervious to feedback, where somebody can't just, you know, like listen and talk to you mm-hmm. about how they perceive something. I mean, maybe they're not in your industry, maybe they are. Like for me, I really enjoy feedback from people that aren't necessarily in the industry, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Because mm-hmm. I like to hear what they think or gauge like how they perceive things because they don't understand the inner workings of things. So right. that's very valuable to me. But if somebody has an opinion on something and I know that it's not coming from a bad place, first of all, I'm not a defensive person anyway. So I just, you know, whatever you say to me, I can take it. Just like we were saying, like even online, if somebody was attacking me, you know what? God bless it. Have a great day. I understand you're having a bad day.
Have the day of your choice.
You know, whatever. But I love to write that, right? Or have the day you deserve. When people say that, that's hilarious.
That is a beautiful line for the record.
So, that's a very bless your heart. Of ooh, wee.
That's like, you know, if the day happens to be you ending in a vat of acid, then you deserve
it. You know, that's the day you deserve. God bless it. I might even go ahead and gesture the cross, you know?
I'll just say bless it and keep it pushing.
Bless it. Whomever gonna bless it, let them.
I mean, good for you, I guess.
Right. So we'll be on number four.
We are headed to number four. So number four is, what advice would you give to someone interested in your work?
I would say this. First of all, there's the way that the industry is set up right now, it's so wide open. Like people ask me all the time, like, well, how do I get into this? Or how do I particularly or specifically get into film per se? Mm. Or how do I get into like break into the industry as even, and this is not my wheelhouse per se, but just use an example, like let's say as a writer, mm-hmm. The way things are set up now, no one necessarily has to be like, you can call yourself whatever you want to. You know, mm-hmm. no one has to be a professional or an expert or anything. If you take on an interest, whether that be a hobby or whether you professionally want to take it on, just, you know, then you are that thing, you know? So if you want to be a writer, write. If you're a creator, create, right? A lot of people say that. Mm-hmm. So I think that if you're interested in let's say film, or if you're interested in interviewing or media or anything in that capacity, I would implore you to speak to people. Like I'm the kind of person, people ask me questions all the time, like, you know, how was it speaking to so-and-so, or can you give me some feedback on this and that? Mm-hmm. And I'll even tell people, I'll be like, listen, to be honest with you, like just from your, you know, your demeanor or how you've even corresponded with me, or just the things that you've shown me, I think that if you were in my position, you would do a better job. Like I can tell people things like that and not feel like I am somehow, you know, jeopardizing my future or my safety right. or my livelihood or right. like where I am in this world. It doesn't matter. You know, right. everybody can do everything. There are many, right. many outlets. There are many, many people talking. No one can tell you that you don't have a voice. So I just encourage people to have conversations with people that you feel are already in place. Mm-hmm. So I also say, like, watch, like if you want to be like an interviewer, watch interviews and see how people approach things and understand like the differences and how like some people, like, you know, with eye contact, even the kind of questions they ask, the kind of reception that they get, the comfortability factor, things like that. And just understand, like, what kind of person do you want to be? Even as we were saying earlier, do you want to be like villainous? Mm. Do you want to be infamous? Right.
Right.
And that has a very short shelf life.
Yeah. Or you can't keep rocking on that forever.
You can't. Or do you want to be somebody who, when I speak of her highly all the time, do you want to be an Angie Martinez? Mm. When do you hear anybody talk bad about Angie Martinez?
Angie don't bother nobody.
Angie don't bother nobody. She lives her life. She is a dope ass.
She's a legend.
She's a legend. And she ain't never had to cut nobody down.
And she knows she don't have to.
She knows she don't have to. You know, she knows she don't have to. There's Angie Martinez, then there's other people, which I don't even start to get into like comparisons, but you see how someone like that can be, and also look at how Angie Martinez, when you look at even like her close friends, just what we observe from the outside looking in, she's been able to maintain these decades long friendships with people.
Because they know she can be trusted.
Yes, to people who you know are also in other places or other environments, they're known to be guarded, but they're not guarded around Angie because they know.
Because then they don't have to be. It'll go into the vault, whatever she said. If they say something outside of the range, it'll stay there.
And this is a journalist we're talking about. Mm-hmm. So you would think that, you know, just by design, any journalist, you should be cautious of being around.
Absolutely.
But not with someone like that. If you got a good and pure heart, the longevity will be there. And that's why I always use her as an example of someone that has always been she gets my utmost respect. She's probably my favorite person in media.
By far. Anyone. Just a genuine, like, you could tell she's just a genuinely good person.
Yes.
And like, you know, it's not going to be no nonsense. You know what I'm saying? Because I mean, I remember the early days with like Wendy Williams when she was like on Kiss FM and doing the top five at five. And then, you know, she pivoted into this whole, you know, I'ma talk crazy and, you know, underestimating the power of the people she always talked crazy about, which got her banished to Philly for a minute. But like,
yes,
you know what I'm saying? Like, and then, you know, she ended up on TV and now look.
Yes, but this is how I knew Wendy was toxic, you know, and I have to give props to Wendy too, because I've seen her grind as well. So there's just different ways to look at things.
Absolutely.
But I knew Wendy was toxic when she pissed Angie Martinez off. That was my barometer that's when I was like, you know what? Something wrong with you, child. Something's very wrong with you. Because if you got Angie Martinez pissed off, that's what
and
I knew.
Angie don't bother nobody.
Don't bother nobody, you know? So
Angie just do her work and like chill and she be cool or whatever. Which is why it was so wild when she moved to that other station. I was like, yo, what happened? How they fucked that up?
But you know, I was coming from like a corporate mindset, and I was like, yo, aren't there like, you know, like non-compete clauses? Like what's going on in the radio that I can jump from the station across the street to this station right there? And they're competitors. Like y'all ain't have, like, she could just do that. She could just walk like that.
I mean, she'd be there for a long time. So whatever they probably had on her probably expired.
Yeah, that's true. Might've been expired maybe over a decade ago, right?
Like management changes ago. Because, you know, whenever the new management comes in, a new history begins. You know what I'm saying?
That's true, too. Yeah.
So they conveniently forget the history that was there prior to them taking over the org. So that it all restarts. So all that stuff probably didn't carry over throughout the years of changeovers.
You make a good point.
Yeah.
Interesting, though.
Mm. Which is why she could get out of there without any bullshit.
Well, you know, it's worked out for her very wonderfully.
Absolutely.
Especially in the era of the internet. I mean, Angie's doing really good.
Yeah, like even like how Emma's played themselves with Shayla. Like how they fired her and replaced her with a younger person and like didn't want to pay her out and all this shit. And she's suing them now.
I didn't know anything about this.
You know, Shayla was she moved, you know, when Kiss FM turned into whatever the fuck that shit is now, she moved to BLS and then like, you know, they fumbled it with her and they let her go and they were trying to play games with her. Shayla, come on, man. You're ready.
But you know what though? I am happy that people are willing to stand up for themselves, regardless.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, a lot of times people will be put in situations like that and then they'll just be quiet and then just, you know, just fall off because they're scared to say something. Because, you know, the industry, like there are these powerful entities that will have people blacklisted, and very, very good people that we have known along the way have been silenced. And there's a lot of talent that we've not even gotten to know.
Right.
Because, you know, we'll never know even because, you know, they just didn't say the right thing or move the right way.
Or they pissed off somebody in corporate and they just kind of did them dirt from there on out.
Exactly.
Because those people have long memories and long reaches, and they utilize them reaches, you know.
It's crazy though, because I was just thinking like about like that industry, everything is so small. I always look at people too, like people with like these really terrible attitudes. I'm like, you're talking to this person crazy because right now they're the intern. It is highly probable, maybe even 2-3 years from now, that person's going to be your boss. Let's see what happens. Try again.
I mean, look at that old boy who I don't see it for in any way, shape or form. His tutelage came under Wendy Williams.
It did.
So if he's a mess and like someone who I personally think shouldn't be taken seriously, you know, you see where the tree that fruit came from, you know what I'm saying? So
he is someone that people, when they're talking about, you know, I guess the people in media that have the voices or the people that need to be in the room when certain decisions are being made, hate it or love it, they're going to call him, right? Yeah. So yeah, and I don't know that even 15 years ago that anybody could have expected that to happen.
I know I didn't. Well, let me talk my shit. I'm not in the fucking industry, so I'm gonna talk my shit. But
I'm just not saying that because I don't know what's going on.
You ain't gotta say nothing. We ain't getting people in the Bing over here.
I ain't do nothing, you know. I've met him before. He's a nice guy. He's a nice guy.
I've never met him. Nice guy. I don't know that dude. I can't say that. And all I know is what I see, and I'm stunned. That's all I got to say about that. I'm stunned. I'm stunned at the growth.
We have very, very good mutual friends.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Fair enough. Let me be quiet with my HR ass.
I know, right?
Okay. Question number 5. Mm-hmm. What was the worst job you've ever had?
The worst job I've ever had. Can it be the worst and the best?
Yeah, sure. That's the next question. So
okay. Oh, okay. So can I answer both questions at once?
Sure. What's the best job you've ever had?
Okay, great. So the worst and the best job I ever had, I was working at a call center. Mm. And when I was working at the call center, we had it was unlimited hours too. Like you could work 80 hours a week if you even wanted to, you decided to. Wow. But like getting on a phone every single day and just saying like, hi, my name is Koku and you're calling Acme Industries or whatever the case would be. And it's like those people on a phone. Mm. And I think that's how I learned also, like everything I've learned like in life is like life lessons because of it have taught me to have a better personality and temperament. I used to be a very violent person, but that's another story. So anyways, like you get on these phones and people are really spicy when they don't see you and they don't really know like what's really going on.
And they don't think that you can come see them.
Right. So crazy. But then the thing is, like, listen, the stakes, right, are high because I'm on the phone with you. Then with the phone call is being recorded, we got quality assurance on my ass. You know what I'm saying? So it's like if I say one crazy thing back to you, it's curtains and I can't go nowhere and I can't work 90 hours a week nowhere else like this. So I'm making a similar back to my friends, but I'm only having like a half hour window where I can hang out because I'm working all the damn time. It was just like a crazy ass job like that. But it was at the same time, and it's so funny because it was so many years ago and I'm still friends with like most people that came from that call center. We're all still friends. It's such a strange, like crazy abusive, but like wild experience.
I get it.
But the fun in that job that was so funny is that, and I never shit where, what do they say? You don't shit where you sleep or eat or whatever.
Where you eat, yeah.
I never do that. And I've never been the kind of person where it's like, if I run in a circle and like, I have, you know, like I got a crush on so-and-so. Like I don't, like if I was dating somebody, nobody would even know. Like I could be married with 8 kids right now. Nobody would know. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just like, I just don't move like that. Like I'm not out loud and outside with like whatever my situation is. But so because I always know, like, you know, people just be in your business, but that's beside the point. In a call center, there's a lot of incestuous stuff going on. That's what it's like the most fun is just watching it. I'm like, yo, we are living the soap opera.
Right.
All these people are dating people. And at the time we used to have these instant messengers too that would come through. And there would be people that would be like, yo, like my wife's on the 3rd floor, but you know, I'm on the 5th floor. You want to meet me for lunch on the 2nd floor real quick with my wife? And then some girls would be like, yeah, I'm gonna go see him. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's just at work. So it's just like, we're not just his work wife. I was like, damn, like, I'm like, yo, the drama. But the craziest thing about this job that I always tell people is like, yo, so we had this policy they had the policy. Well, first of all, you could drink on the job.
Nice.
And I remember like every Friday they would have like this thing. I don't drink beer, so that saved me. But every Friday they would have like free beer, like where they have these barrels of like beer where you could go out into the parking lot and everybody would get wasted and stuff like that.
They was bringing y'all kegs?
They was bringing out the kegs. And I hate to bring this up because I'm sure this person would probably rather that no one remembered it, but how can I forget it? But I'll never forget that they stopped this whole thing because at one of the Christmas parties, the guy got so drunk, he passed out upside down inside one of the garbage cans.
Oh, shit.
And it became a thing. And I'm talking about this is a Christmas party. We are like winding, grinding, dancing, twerking, nice. All kinds of things. And nice. Somebody ends up in a garbage can and there's execs there and everything.
Oh, Lord. There's
some craziness, stuff like that. But let me tell you about the conference room story. So the conference room thing was that the company's policy was that anybody could reserve a conference room and it regardless of hierarchy. So whether or not it was the CEO or it was somebody that was working in the mailroom, it didn't matter whatever anybody's job was. If you felt like you needed to block out that time for the conference room, they needed to block out that time for the conference room.
Okay.
So call center's employees being who they are, what they would do is people would reserve times in those conference rooms so they could have their sexual dalliances with people for those 30-minute blocks.
Oh,
so you would
no.
see time. So they would never do it on the floor that we worked at, but then you could see, because you could see the virtual monitor that would
of
show
course.
Like, oh, and you'd be like, oh, Bob is reserving a conference over there and Christina gonna be there.
Oh yeah, he's like, gonna clap cheeks in there.
I know what's going on over there. So it was just like, yo, y'all telling on yourself, but right. nobody really knew. Then I remember another time, another story there, that's another one that made it fun, is that this is a time, remember like inter-office mail was really big?
And oh,
like
yes.
Send, yeah, send, like uh-huh. walking things to people's like desks, you know, you'd be like, uh-huh. okay, let me put in the inter-office mail bin. So somebody anonymously sent inter-office nudes.
What?
Somebody, and it got intercepted. And it was, it was like this huge deal. And everybody's like, did you see that news? Did you see that news?
Oh,
and
I was
like, oh my God. And like, we all kind of, you know, the real call center employees.
Ooh,
like,
the kinda, HR must have been popping in there. Lord, have mercy.
Out. Yeah. But you know what? It was just so, it was like, no, they wasn't doing what they were supposed to be doing, because a lot of people should have been let go at that time.
Of course.
And that wasn't even the last one I'm going to say. There was another, I'm telling you, so many stories from this call center, I should be writing the story. The last one I'm going to tell you, and the thing is, all of this stuff can be backed up, because there's people to this day that I know, I told you that we're all good friends, that can be like, yo, that really happened. I'll
yeah.
never forget, it was after orientation, of this one guy was there, you know, and like, they know, they're walking through like, hey, this is the call center. And I'm like, hi, my name is Coco, and I'm on phones, you know, do all that whole thing. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, they're walking through and doing their whole thing. And then it's all of a sudden, like, we're looking outside, because it's one of those things, like, you know how the buildings are like, some buildings are like U-shaped, where like, it's like an open floor plan to where you can see outside,
mm-hmm.
big windows, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking outside, and it's like all these state troopers. I swear to God, these guys, nobody was under like 6'5". And
what?
they're brolic, right?
Oh, shit.
And we're like, yo, what's going on? And so all of a sudden, one of the new guys just starts running like mad dash, jumping
shit.
From like balcony, like some straight up, like something out of
parkour,
like,
parkour.
Yes. And we're like, what is going on? Like, what's happening? So it turned out, I don't really know. I don't even remember. Maybe I knew. I don't think I ever knew what the situation was. But as soon as he saw those state troopers, he knew they were for him. And I'm like, I don't even know where you're going to run, bro.
What the fuck you did?
It was your first day. You don't even know the layout. Like, I don't know
where
you're going.
Closing.
Or you're gonna exit. Yeah, it was crazy. But it's like, whatever he did, it sounds like he must have just been on the, I mean, it, I don't, do they do that for child support? I don't really know.
No, they're not sending the stadies for no child support.
But how are you going to do, like, how are you going to sign up for a course and a job if you, like, wanted on, like, Murder One or something like
oh,
that?
So shit.
I never really, I just thought about, like, I was like, I never really got to the bottom of, like, whatever that situation was. And I'm sure somebody I know will tell me, but
right.
I'm like, how all them people, them boys is after you like that? I never
We're
knew.
Like, you
made.
Got the brolic niggas coming to get you
Yo,
from the feds?
Had, you know
from
them
the state?
Them state troopers.
With the Mountie hats.
Yeah,
what?
The hats. It was all like that. They were standing out front. I'm talking, it was police cars lined all the way up. They
that's hardcore shit if they coming to get you.
Yo, I was like, yo, the most I ever had was a ticket.
I have not, knock on wood, not had to deal with the boys.
Nah, I'm still fighting a ticket from 2019. From making, they said I turned too fast in front of I made a left turn on Bedford, Fulton and Bedford.
Mm-hmm.
And so they said I turned too fast in front of the cars that was coming in front of me. I was like, they wasn't even moving.
Right.
I was like, whatever. So they know because of COVID and everything like that. So the ticket keeps now the ticket, they stressed it to 23. So
what?
I know just for a turn, I'm like, yo, I'm gonna keep stretching it.
I know that's right.
This, you know,
this, all this, the way.
This ticket is about to have a PhD. Don't do me like that, cause I'll drag it. Okay.
I know that.
I ain't getting no points. No, I'm not doing that.
I know that's right. Well, that was my last two questions you asked. Yay!
I think, okay. Well, that was pretty random. I don't think anybody knew that a call center would be the highlight of my life. And
I feel like that's come up in a lot of.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've had a lot of answers in terms, either the worst, usually the worst job though is the call center job. So you're an outlier in that you said it's also the best job because most people are like, it was hell.
It was, but you meet these crazy people.
Right.
It's fun, it's zany. Like zany can be good.
Fair.
Like we said earlier, as long as it's not your life, it can be
correct. Correct. As long as the mess doesn't have anything to do with you, it's perfectly fine.
Thank you so much, Max.
Of course. Thank you so much for doing this. And where can the people find you and what are you working on?
So right now you can find me on as at CocoaPuff, KOKUPUFF on Instagram, Twitter. That's my Facebook page, which I don't really update. I should do something with it. but online, my IMDb is imdb.me/CocoaTona, KOKUTONA. That's the show that I actually doing something with my life right now. as far as what I'm working on, I'm writing something right now and I'm working on something. There's a project that I'm working on and I've been working with several individuals to see what I could get off the ground. It's just something, it's an experimental thing because I never considered myself a writer or someone that would be able to put something as far as like conceptually in a scripted sense. I never really tried to do that, but that's what
there's
I'm doing.
Definitely some stories I can tell. There's some stories to be told here.
And you know what? It's all about trying. It doesn't mean it's going to work. It doesn't mean it's going to be good. It doesn't mean it's going to be bad. It could be any kind of thing. But I am trying something because I've been introduced to a world that has interested me. So it's fueled something that I'm not mad about, exploring.
I love it. I love it. Because not for nothing, there's plenty of underwhelming people who are bawling crazy. On some writer tips, some production shit, some like it's like, oh, but that bra's not even funny, and she looks like a potato. But
let me tell you something. I have to watch hundreds of hours of television and film and things like that. And to your point, I see things and I'm just wondering, how did this get greenlit? I would never be
most of what's on CBS. I always have that question.
I would never be so attacking to probably say that to anyone really. Right. But I think it a lot when I look at the projects. I'm like, this doesn't even make sense. It's not even
certain people, there's Black folks who are out here winning right now where it's kind of like, well, we deserve to fail upwards too.
And then you realize too, one thing I've realized is that sometimes when, let's say you and I, the way the depth in how we perceive something or look into a film or look into the writing, we might have a type of lens that may not be typical to other people.
Right. Like it's not written for you. You're not demographic.
Exactly. So it's I'm not even going to say it's unique, but we'll know it's not written for us.
Right.
But then you'll see that when you see their demographic, that person is soaring. It makes sense to them. They are enjoying it.
They love it. There's two comedians who I've gone to their shows. There was a minute where I was into them and then I paid attention closely and I was like, this shit is not funny at all.
It's not funny.
Like that's I went to the show and I left early because I was like, there ain't no seats in here. I don't feel like I need to stay. Like, it's not necessary. This is not good. I'm out.
it gets like that. And then you realize too, especially let's say even with comedy, and not to be long-winded, but it's like, as things evolve too, you realize what may have been funny a time ago is just not funny now. So when people still exist in that space and they just want to keep using those kinds of jokes or thinking that that's what people are. And it's like, dude, that's just not funny.
And then after a while too, the cats that do that shit, it's like I say that about Chappelle now, which makes me sad because that was my man for a long time. Mm-hmm. But it's like, it's just branding now. Like this is, this is not for everybody, which is fine, but you're catering to the lowest common denominator. And even that has an expiration date. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
You can't keep telling these born ass jokes that you punching down on people who don't need to get punched down on, but you can't, it's not something that you can consistently do over time. You know what I'm saying? And then play the victim role when everybody pushes back on your terrible jokes. You know what I'm saying?
People get tired of people being mean and nasty.
Yeah.
People get tired of bullies. We've all been through situations where it's like, yo, why?
We have 4 years of a whole bully in the fucking White House. A whole rat. Like, come on, man.
And I'm telling you, and unfortunately, sometimes when it's not happening to you, sometimes people turn a blind eye because they're not the target of the ire, right?
But then, that has an expiration date too. At some point, they're coming for you.
Absolutely. At some point, you become the target too. And, you know, I don't know when the lesson is ever going to be learned, you know, but sometimes, you know, even like with that kind of, and hopefully Chappelle comes to a place where he understands that, yo, this is not cool.
I feel like it's a thing where cats get rich and they stop being hungry and they get lazy.
Yeah, yeah, there's that too. That can happen too. That can happen too. That's why I have to say shout out to Kevin Durant, because Kevin Durant is hungry. He's a basketball player. He's the best basketball player in the world. I love Kevin Durant. He has all the money in the world and he still plays at a high level. That's what I'm
talking about. Yeah, yes. Like stay hungry. The people who stay hungry are the ones that do the best, I think. Or the ones that keep learning and they keep growing and they keep whatever. Like if you stay like in the same place more or less, like you should not still be the same person you were 10 years ago. You just shouldn't be.
No. And you know, it's weird because that's how you measure, I guess, where people, and I don't want to be even attacking, I'll say this, where people see themselves, because this is, again, this is projection. Mm-hmm. When someone is trying to make you or remind you of who you were 10 years ago, mm-hmm. and that's the place where you live in their head and they're constantly sort of just bringing that up, mm-hmm. it just tells you like, you know, just, wow, the darkness in this person's soul. They don't know growth at all.
Right.
They don't know anything. You know what
I mean? And there's nobody in their circle who's telling them, look, this ain't it, B.
This ain't it. You know, and if I'm in your circle and I got to walk on eggshells to say anything to you, that's not healthy for either one of us, man.
No.
That's not cool. You know, you see a lot of that too, especially when somebody's like the bag, especially with particularly with celebrity.
Of course. People
walk on eggshells, just like you said earlier, you know, they ain't got them day ones.
Right.
They got them folks that tell them like it is, like, you know, listen, I knew you when, you know, now that's when you kind of got to pull the I knew you when.
Right.
Like, bro, I know you.
I remember when you ain't know how to do your hair, B. You need to calm down.
Exactly. Now you're getting premium lace fronts. I know you.
I remember. I remember when your glue was lifting in the front, B. Like, don't do this.
You cannot treat that lady like that. You can't do that because I know you and you are not that person. Do not.
And it's like, babes, don't talk about her. Like, you was wearing them contacts from out the beauty supply. Don't do this.
Exactly. That said tester on them.
Don't do this. Just because your earrings are really gold now, don't do this.
Exactly. You was shooting in the gym when we put in a clear nail polish on the earrings too. So don't do that.
You know the vibes.
You know the vibes.
Keep your rope chain from turning green. Don't do this.
We're not gonna do that. You know what I'm saying? I got the pictures on Flickr. You know what I'm saying? I was there.
Flickr. Talk about it.
I was there.
Okay. Before Flickr got taken by Yahoo, babes.
Yes. I was there.
Well, thank you once again so much. This was so much fun. I'm so glad we finally got to do this.
Me too. Thank you so much, Max. I'm so glad I got to talk to you. I would love to talk to you again. Just let me know what's going on. Anytime.
Yeah, once you're rolling out your idea, please come back. We're going to have a whole discussion.
Yes, of course. You know, and we'll just see where it goes. Like I said, there's nothing concrete. There's nothing to really speak about per se.
Of course.
At least I'm trying.
I'm putting it into the atmosphere. It's going to go huge. It's going to be some Issa Rae shit. It's going to be monster sized excellence.
Issa, and I adore Issa. I adore Issa. I adore Quinta. I adore all of these people. They have just paved the way in such a great way. And they're such relatable, beautiful, beautiful human beings. So I hope to be.
And I love that they are pretty much still the same people they were when we used to see them bopping around on the internet. You know what I'm saying?
1,000% concerned.
Which is why it's so gratifying to see them do well.
Absolutely.
Like, I love this for Quinta so much.
I love it. Nothing makes me more happy than to see somebody that's authentically living their best life. I love to see that. That brings me so much joy alone. Then I go ahead and then I enjoy whatever's going on in my world. But can you imagine just that radiance that you get from just the positivity that's going on in somebody's life? You know, that too, just it's uplifting.
Where cats don't have nothing really to say about you because you've been pretty much yourself the whole time.
You gotta be yourself. That's
absolutely.
And that was my chat with the fabulous and brilliant Coco Tona. I hope you guys enjoyed it because you know I did. And let's jump in to these key takeaways. I actually have two key takeaways for this week. The first is the children are left behind, and it's definitely George W. Bush's fault. People are spending long American dollars to buy unknown pink sauce from a Yacoubian broad on TikTok. Mama is shipping this shit out across the country, unpreserved and unrefrigerated during a heat wave, because it is devil's nuts degrees outside across the country. And mama is literally putting this shit that don't nobody really know what's in it, but it looks like Pepto-Bismol if bitches want to eat it. Instead of, I don't know, getting the recipe and making it themselves at the house, they decided they're going to buy this shit from this lady. And she's sending out this shit across the country. And you can imagine what is happening. She's throwing it into like your regular, like, you know, USPS envelope joints, like as if she's sending like socks or something. And as you can imagine, people are receiving it. And they're receiving exploded bottles of pink goo. And people who actually do receive it are receiving separated, weird, gross-looking shit because it has dairy in it. And, you know, dairy probably needs to be refrigerated. So people are buying the shit, and the colors are inconsistent because it goes from, like, light pink to straight-up Pepto pink. And people are like drizzling this nasty shit all over food and eating it. So I'm waiting for the first wave of people getting absolutely fucking ass ripped, blasting their whole ass cheeks and their innards into the toilet as a result, because why not? Basically, people are also buying crawfish bowls from unknown bitches across the country that arrive barely refrigerated and tossed to all hell. And you can imagine how rotten those things smell by the time they get to somebody's house. So yeah, that's wonderful. Look, y'all were in grade school at some point. I know George Bush set y'all up for failure, and a lot of schools are doing the barest of minimums because they ain't got it. But babes, stop being dumb. Don't order unknown shit from unknown bitches who are doing kitchen ass shit. They not even professionals. Look, if you insist on eating this bullshit off of TikTok, at the very minimum, make that shit yourself. At least you know if you're throwing up your guts, it's because of some shit you did, not some unknown bitch in an unknown kitchen sending you unrefrigerated ass shit that requires refrigeration. Like, and then getting on, like, don't even get me started on this entire kind of thing of people posting their fucking L's to the internet. Babes, take that to the group chat. Don't fucking tell nobody about this shit. You look stupid. And we, stranger motherfuckers looking at you be stupid on the internet, are saying you're stupid. You're stupid. Stop being stupid. And that's that on that. As for my second key takeaway, everything good isn't meant to last forever. And by that, I'm talking about the end of Desus and Mero, which has broken my Bronx-ass heart. I'm actually sad about it, because it was nice to see 233rd and Tremont Ave win every week. Yeah, the show got a little bit corporate, and even the merch wasn't popping like it used to be. You know, when they was doing stuff with Bodega Sushi, and you would have all these interesting things that would, like, sell out in, like, minutes because it was so cool, and I wasn't able to get any of that. But anyway, it was nice and it was lovely when they just belonged to us. You know, the complex days, the, what was that, Man Cold show that they were on for 2 seconds. And then when the Bodega Boys podcast first jumped off and it was just them being reckless and hungry. But, you know, people grow, people change, people have different needs, and the creative isn't what it used to be. I'm not here to assign blame to anybody for the breakup, because shit just happens, you know, even in the best of relationships. But it's still sad. It was nice to see some local cats come in and just do it. You know what I'm saying? And they were their selves. They were authentic. They were drinking Brugal and probably lukewarm nasty beer, which I don't understand why Desus drinks that bullshit. He is a Jamaican. He is supposed to drink Heineken. But, you know, that's it, you know, party's over. And the sad thing about it is they're not even getting a good send off. You know, it's like the Jeffersons all over again, where Jeffersons was on for like 11 years and they just canceled it unceremoniously. It's kind of like that. It just went from rumors of beef to sort of, definitely we got beef to bong, everything dead. And it sucks because they were great. And of course, you know what happens. The gentrifiers came up with their desperation to be down and speak the language and talk about shit they don't know about. And all of a sudden we started getting gourmet chopped cheeses and all this fucking bullshit. But, you know, that's what happens when something becomes a commodity, something that just belonged to you and your local hoods becomes something that everybody fucking knows about, and cats got to monetize it and dilute it and gentrify it and Columbus it until it means nothing, because there are no spaces now that you can just call your own, really, without some, no shade, but shade, interloping ass fucking bitch from Iowa jumping into your fucking business, talking like they know something. But it was good while it lasted, and I will miss them terribly. And of course, just for the extra kick in the gut, I had ordered a tea, a Desus Amaro tea, one of the more authentic looking teas that was available via the Showtime store, which was like, I think I put it up on the main page, I think. Anyway, basically it was about Orchard Beach being the Riviera of the Bronx, which if you know, you fucking know. But I'm sad. My Bronx heart will always hold them close. And hopefully they both do well separately. And I'm hopeful that they find their way back to each other. Anyhoozer, that is the end of this week's episode. And as always, keep washing your hands, keep wearing your masks, because bitches are really trying to look you hard up in your face when you out in these streets with a mask on. Let me tell you something. Keep looking. Don't say shit. Continue minding your motherfucking business, and don't ask me about mine, because you can run around with your face all raw, inhaling God knows the fuck what, because we got all the plagues on decky. I'll be wearing my fucking mask and you can continue minding your goddamn business. Keep washing your hands. Keep putting that Purell on your shit. Spray whatever needs to be sprayed with Lysol, honeys, because baby, it's not a game. The president has COVID, guys. And he's old. So, keep taking care of yourselves and keep taking care of others. And I will be back next week.